Turok Football's season countdown continues. Our one-on-one chats with every local coach, and lucky enough to be joined by a man. Well, if this had been done in reverse ladder order last year, we would have had him very early in the series. But because of the improvement of the club, we're about halfway through, and I reckon Rory Nicol likes the fact that he's had to wait a little while to be part of the season countdown. He's been good enough to join us in the K-Rock studios. Hello, Rory.
How are you, Tom?
Very well. Fair to say that nice to me looking at the ladder last year, and there were three clubs below you rather than nobody.
Yes, it's I guess a sign of our improvement, mate. But can't be complacent and be happy with that. We've got to continue our improvement.
Yep. 6-12 is what you finished, but a couple of key numbers out of this. Your percentage was the best part of 70, which meant you were competitive. I think it was probably only a couple of games you would have walked away with really disappointed in terms of the margin last year. I think Drysdale got hold of you early in the year.
They did, yep.
And then I think Torquay got you by 10 goals in the last round.
Yeah.
Would have been one that you would have gone, especially coming off a pretty solid end of the season, you would have been disappointed with as well.
Yeah, we've certainly been able to, I guess, close the gap against the top sides. We haven't been able to get a win against one, but we've been close in some occasions. Drysdale gave us a good old footy lesson halfway through the year at home, but we're able to reverse that towards the end of the year. But
you picked a good day too. It was their 10-year anniversary of a flag, and they were planning on having a win in the afternoon, probably locking away a final spot, having a good night, and you did two things. You ruined their day, and they didn't play finals.
Yeah, well, there was a few guys playing that day that were attending the reunion, so we did spoil their day, which is nice because it's normally we've had our day spoiled a few times. Don't worry about that.
The other results through the year, obviously, that I touched on with it, the 14-point loss to Barwon Heads, it might have been 99-86, and then 6 points to Ammo's later in the season. Does that give you hope going forward that you have got something to build on more than the six wins you had?
Yeah, there's certainly, I think you spoke about, we had six games that we lost by 30 points or less, and that's what we're out to improve on and try and rectify that. If we can fix them and get 12 wins, we're in the mix, and we'd have to beat some sides in the five, which is the task we need to set ourselves for. But it does give you hope, I guess, but at the same time, we couldn't get the job done as well. So, the Geelong Amateurs game was torrential rain and sideways wind, so it became a game of rugby more than football.
Yep.
We got Barwon Heads when they're probably missing a few players at Barwon Heads. Don't want to take any gloss away from our effort, but I feel there's still a gap there that we're trying to close, that's for sure.
Yep. How do you go about closing that gap? Is there something you identified last year that you were probably just short of the top six clubs in?
Yeah, I feel we certainly get enough of the football. We get our fair share. There's no issue with the way we hunt the ball and win our contested possessions. It's more what we're doing with it when we've got it in our hands and how long we've got it in our hands for. We certainly give the opposition way too many opportunities to score through our own mistakes. So effectively, we're beating ourselves on occasions.
Yep.
So that's something we wanted to rectify, or I did as a coach. So that's hence the reason why we brought in Jai.
Yep.
Jai's concentration over pre-season has been ball movement,
yep,
skills, and just basically controlling the football a little bit more. Goals from turnovers is something we did count as a stat last year, and they were just way too high.
Yep.
Way too high. If we can reduce half of them and give ourselves an opportunity through improvement for another few goals, you know, that's how we're going to close the gap on those six losses.
Yep. Talk to us about where you turned the ball over. Were you turning it over at your half back? Was it midfield, or was it more across your own half forward line and you're getting basically slingshotted against?
There was times when we were going a little bit too slow in our back half and getting behind the mark and trying to control the ball and kicking off one step into dangerous places. That hurt us on occasions, but, you know, I'm talking once or twice. It's probably forgivable. I think more half forward and our forward entries, I think opposition set up and looked to bounce off our entries, which they did quite well. Our forward structures change. We look really even across there at the moment. There's a couple of guys that will stay permanently forward that probably spent time in the midfield last year, which will help us be a bit more predictable to each other, I feel. We still don't have that big monster up forward that's going to, I guess, give us a presence in the air.
Yeah.
But certainly looking at Meadey, Andrew Steele, Joel Goy's had a really good pre-season. Some guys that did play midfield that could spend more time up forward. I think we'll get some more value from our entries, which will reduce the opposition bouncing off them.
Yep. Well, we see the best of Joel Goy this year. Obviously, ruptured the Achilles early in 2018, has to rehab that, doesn't probably get the full pre-season going into 19. Has a solid year, but is it fair to say, you know, now injury issues, we'll see what he can do.
Yeah, Joel's put a hell of a lot of work in to getting his legs nice and strong. He was able to play last year, but his legs let him down a fair bit. He was also had the captaincy to deal with on top of that. So he was under a lot of duress, I suppose, Joel. So we've freed Joel up. I don't know whether it'd be in the leadership group or not. We haven't sort of settled that. But he's been able to just train and spend some time away from the club focusing on that. Strengthening those legs. He played on Friday night and he looked really good for probably 2.5 quarters, and then he looked like he started to get some fatigue settled in. So he is getting those Ks up in his legs, and I just want him to enjoy his footy first and foremost, which the end result of that is he will be a good player for us.
Yep.
But he looks well.
Yep. Jai Walker, obviously, you mentioned before, has come in as co-coach. Yep. Talk to us about as you go into your fifth season, and congratulations, you equal Laurie to Goldie's record for longest tenure in charge of Newcombe. Laurie doing it from, I think, 80 to 84, the late, great Laurie to Goldie, who unfortunately no longer with us. But yep. Talk to us about Jai's role and how that's lessened some of your load.
Yeah, it certainly helped me not be so time poor and probably have a good, better temperament around the players, where I'm not... I could probably get agitated pretty easily, just due to being time poor, I suppose.
Yep.
We'd never had a footy manager at the start, so I was doing the job of probably 3 or 4 people at Falk. So I guess what I feel I do well as a coach is more one-on-one and development and really get the best out of the player. So it's given me the opportunity to be able to concentrate on that, whether it be showing the players footage or just having a chat. Yep. How you going? How's your well-being? Where do you feel you're at? And, you know, those sorts of conversations, which has been good. Jai's come in as, I guess, to lay the standards for the players. I think we're quite young and inexperienced. Yep. So his maturity and what he's been able to do in his football career, he knows how to, I guess, be successful. What a team needs to do, and on a personal level. So he's certainly doing that. We identified that goals from turnovers is way too high, so Jai's been able to come in and bring a fresh heap of new drills, which players are probably sick of mine, that focus on ball movement. So he's looking to add that string to our bow to improve that area. And can't fault him at this stage. He's been really good. He's very professional, very organised, a different approach to me, as I said.
Yep.
And it's what the players needed, I feel. They look like they're enjoying the pre-season. It's been good. And I've been sort of able to sit back a little bit, I guess, and just give him the support he needs. A first-time coach is quite daunting. You talk to anyone, whether they're playing or not. So able to give him advice and help steer him and... but eventually, my role, I guess, will become redundant eventually. So he's more than capable to do the job on his own, I feel, already.
If somebody had said to you at the end of 2015 you were still going to be in the role heading into 2020, would you have gone, "You're kidding, aren't you?"
Well, it's funny you say that, because Dave Dunoon and Damien Marnie tried to sign me for 5 years when I first spoke to him, and I just sort of looked at him in disbelief and said, "Yeah, there's no way I'll be able to coach for 5 years." But anyway, they got their 5 years out of me, haven't they? But yeah, look, I signed for 3, and then every year after that's been just a conversation. But and they've been probably 50-50 in those last 2 years.
Yep.
Damien, on the 4th year, said to me, "I need you to do it one more year," which I said, "Okay, I'll do it." At this point in time this year, I probably wasn't keen to go on again. I felt the players needed a new voice. But I'd contacted Jai a few times over the years, and he wasn't quite ready to leave Leopold, which is fine. But yeah. I felt the timing was right for him to take on a new role. He wasn't, I don't think, too comfortable to do it without me. So to get Jai, I had to go around again, I guess. But I'm glad I did so far. It's been enjoyable. And
yep.
As I said, at the end of the year, it's probably not something you set out to do, make yourself redundant. But it's effectively what I'm doing. Yep. At the end of this year, there's no need to employ me anymore, I feel.
Yep.
The club's I've got them to the point where I felt I wanted to achieve. Yep. There's not much more I can do for the Newcombe Football Club at the end of this year. I don't feel there's no point having me. But it's early. Who knows? I've said no and I've changed my mind before. So.
Two questions. If you had gone 1-17, 2-16, 3-15 last year, would you still be coaching Newcombe?
Probably not, mate. Probably not. It's probably... And not because, we're not having enough wins. It's more, well, am I getting the best out of the playing group? I'd probably have to be honest with myself and say I wasn't. 6 wins I thought was a good result. I wanted somewhere between 5 and 7, and I got exactly that.
So I think you might have said it on this
did I? Yeah.
Series
yeah.
last year.
That's where I thought we were at, between 5 and 7. So we hit the mark there. I felt I was doing my job. In answer, no, I don't think I would have been. It would have been time for somebody else to... Yeah. It would have meant the players weren't responding to what I was saying if we had less than 6 wins, I feel.
Yeah. So if you were 5-7 last year, are you now 8-10, 9-11?
As we said, 6 games, 30 points or less. We need to get out there and rectify as many as them as we can. At the same time, we've got to make sure we get the 6 wins as well that we need to tick off.
So it's going to be an even comp.
Oh, for sure, mate. And look, you know what? Like, just looking at the ladder before I come in to refresh a little bit, we're sort of really a couple of games above Queenscliff, Ocean Grove. Yeah, they're going to improve, I reckon. And you look at the ladder, and I don't think any of those top 5 sides, like Motawarri and Anglesey, finish 4th and 5th respectively, and they're certainly not going to wave a white flag and say, here's our spot. Drysdale, those coaches have got a lot of talent at the end of their fingertips, and they'd be disappointed they didn't play finals last year, and I'd be surprised if they missed out again. So, Queenscliff are going to improve, a lot of injuries. How they've recruited well. It's we're going to make sure we get the 6 wins first and foremost, and get our improvement on top of that. So you can't just assume you're going to get the 6 and improve on that other 6. So in answer to your question, mate, we've got to get those 6 wins at least and beat that to improve and show our upward trajectory. I'd like to see 10 wins. I think that'd be a really good result for us. That'd have to be a lot go our way, and injuries be right and those sorts of things. If we're lucky enough to get the 12 and be in the 5, that'd be awesome. But who knows, mate? You don't know what opposition are going to be like. And there's a few new players, and to be honest, at this stage in time, I don't know what we're going to be like.
Yep.
So time will tell.
Yeah, absolutely. Jai Walkie, you've got... the big one, though, was the early Christmas present. It was like Santa came a little bit early, and he brought Brenton Rees in... dropped him off at Grinner Reserve. How did that all come about?
Yeah, so friends with Sterlo, Reezy, hadn't signed at St. Joseph's, so was a bit, undecided on what he wanted to do with his football. It just eventuated through a coffee with myself and Jai, and we gave him a fair bit of space to make the right decision. Not an easy decision to leave such a successful club, and I guess he's only 24. So he certainly got his best footy in front of him to roll out of VFL and GFL. I think he just wanted to enjoy his footy and take a backward step. And luckily for us, he saw a change at Newcombe.
Yep.
So we're looking forward to having him on board. What people don't know is we planned without James Hussey from the word go. So Hussey told us he wasn't going to play. So we set out to replace him, and Brenton Rees is a pretty good replacement. Hussey's probably at the end of his peak, whereas we feel Reezy's at the start.
Yep.
They're the same amount of points, so it was just a straight swap for us.
Yep. Matty Walson rolls back. He had played a few games going back when you had a bit of a link there with some boys that were playing, I think, somewhere at the Northern Blues there for a while.
Yep.
He's been at Hoppers Crossing in the Western Region League, which is good footy.
Yeah, it is. Yep. I think he tagged Shannon Burns in the grand final a couple of years ago. He's a quality player, Matty. He uses the ball really well. Got a good football brain.
Yep.
He's only 25 maybe, but he would have done 11 VFL pre-seasons. Mm. He was always too slight to play VFL.
Yeah, there's not a lot of him.
No, there's not a lot of him. He has filled out a little bit. But he'll roll through the middle, and as I said, really great decision-making and good ball use, which is something we feel we lack. So... him, Jai and Reezy, with their good ball use, will help us out a lot.
Yep. A couple of others have come in. Blake Ritchie had some Falcons experience.
Yeah.
And has come across.
Yeah, Blake's a Newcombe kid through and through. His dad played a couple hundred games at the club. I think he's one of those kids that rolled out in under 15s and got to the point where Newcombe couldn't field a side in the 17. So,
does he come back as a one?
I'm not sure.
Still working on that?
Yeah, well that'll be a discussion we'll have. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that. I think they were talking about bringing in a father-son rule, but I'm not sure where that's at. Yeah, so Blake's, as I said, a good ball user, and he plays cricket at Newcombe as well.
Yep.
So growing up around the football club, it'd be nice to see him run out round one in a senior jumper. He's still eligible for Colts, Blake, so.
Yep, but he won't be running round one. He'll be running out at 5:10 to take on Ocean Grove.
Not sure.
Oh.
Don't
know. All right, we'll wait and see. Still got a month.
No certainties.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of others that have come in. Macaulay Harrison's played some good footy at Belmont Lions and spent some time at North Shore as well. How's he tracking? Are we going to see him play some senior footy for Newcombe this year?
Yeah, that's probably the one player Jai and I don't agree on at the moment, where he's playing. He's got a bit of work to do. I'm not sure his fitness is quite there to play at this level just yet. Yeah, the jury's out on him for me, that's for sure. But, you know, there's a few guys that we don't know at this stage, and he's one of them. We've got two practice matches ahead of us, and, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of training to prove yourself in round one. And he's not the only one that's not, his name's not set in the side for round one.
Yeah.
There's some work to do. It's okay to, we had an intra-club practice match last Friday, and it's one thing to play okay against your mates, but when you can play against some quality opposition in practice matches, we'll soon know where guys are at, and he's one of those guys.
You've got a couple of practice matches. You'll play Melton Central's Matty Sproul, still coaching the Blues.
He is, yeah. I don't know how his wife lets him travel up there, but he's still up there.
Yeah. What's he been there now, 4?
I reckon this would be 4, yeah. This would be our 4th year we've played him, I reckon. So, yeah, we always have a run against Sproul's mob, which is good. We'll play them at Oakdean next Sunday, which will be good. Dan Roy's a mate of mine. He's up at Darley for his first hit out as a coach.
Yep. Former South Bowen.
He is, yeah. Tried to recruit him for about the last 5 years.
So he was at Lawn most recently?
Yeah, I was surprised to see him down there. I thought his knee had it, but it's one of those tears that didn't go right through, so it was able to mend itself.
Yep.
And he'll be a playing coach up at Darley this year. So they're a good outfit, nice big ground. You know, they expect to be sort of in that top 3 mix, I'd say, in the Ballarat Footy League. So that'll be a good challenge for the individuals to see how they go against quality players and us as a team to see how we can move the football against them. So looking forward to that one as well.
Yep. Your first month, Ocean Grove once again, Twilight Clash as you did last year to kick things off. Port Arlington, Good Friday, as you did last year at Port. They had you in the first half, didn't they?
Yeah. We had a really solid pre-season last year, and I think we showed signs of it affecting us round two. And I think it was sort of uncharted waters for us to probably maybe be the favourites in the game. I'm not sure if you'd call us that. But, yeah, it was just a little bit of a transition and a chat at halftime to just get the players relaxed. And look, in respect to our group, it's been a long journey. Coming from so far back and then trying to make yourself, I guess, you know, face games where there's a different mindset, the pressure's on you to win, and instead of being the underdog all the time. So that was where we were at then. We were able to rectify it in the last half and get the job done.
Yep. Queenscliff round 3, Anglesey round 4. It's a real month of opportunity for the Newcombe Footy Club. If you had have been offered a draw at the start of the year, you would have almost said, You know the challenges are going to come, but they're almost 3 of the 4 clubs there that you go, well, we think we're going to match up all right with, and Anglesey's going to be a nice little, well, where are we really at if you get through those first 3?
Yeah, but if we roll up against Anglesey and we've only won one game, then we already know where we're at, don't we? So it's important that we just get ready for Ocean Grove. There's been talk that Ocean Grove may go backwards, but I couldn't disagree more. Some guys I used to coach at Werribee played footy for him at Bacchus Marsh, and I asked what he was like, and they spoke really highly of him. So they've got the right appointment there, I feel.
They're going to be fit.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to work out what you need to do if you play at Ocean Grove. You know, if they're going to have kids, get them fit and just let them run and flick the footy around on those big spaces. So it's a real danger game for us. You know, at the end of the day, they beat us last time we played them, so we'll come in as underdogs, and it's a really big challenge for us to try and stop those kids running around on that big ground. So that's all we're focusing on at this stage. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, one thing I say to recruits when they're thinking about coming into the Ballerine is come 2 o'clock on a Saturday, you can win or lose any game, and that's whether you're Torquay or Newcombe or whatever it is. It's game on. It's grand final day because it's such an even competition. So I know other competitions can be a little bit tiered, so it might get a bit boring from time to time. But
yeah, not the Bellarine.
Come the Bellarine, if you're not at your best, you're going to get beaten. Yeah. So you know, and that's a way how we feel. And every game at 2 o'clock or 5 o'clock in round one, you've got to be at your best to win. So yeah, there's no. I don't have a pen out and ticking and crossing, that's for sure.
Yeah. Just talking about that, the competition's not tiered. Is that what makes it attractive to players, including GFL players in a way as well, that, you know, you'll have some guys, you know, I'm not saying Brenton Rees thought this, but, you know, you're playing at St Joey's, you know that you're going to get five clubs that are going to make you work, and you're going to have six clubs where you're going to walk away with at least a 10-goal win.
Yeah, not just players. I don't know from a player's point of view. I think it would. I mean, you want to be tested every week, and you want those hairs on the back of your neck standing up at 2:10, and it's game on, and you know you got your forearm across your opponent, and you know you're in for a ripper. That's what footy's all about, and I guess that's why we tier the cult system. So you're playing the best or more even week in, week out. But certainly as a coach, it appeals to me because every week I'm coaching football. Yeah. I'm not saying that in the GFL you put your feet up and don't do your homework, because certainly that's not the case. But, you know, you're really engaged in the games, and you have to make the right moves at the right times. And I enjoy the coaching aspect of it, that's for sure.
Yeah. Rory, you've been an absolute gem for the Newcombe Footy Club, but hopefully this is not the last time we're talking to you on a season countdown series, because I'm suspecting if you're not at Newcombe next year, I reckon there might be clubs coming and knocking on your door to see what you're up to. Although I reckon there might be the lovely Mrs. Nicol might be saying, "Hang on, might be time to give me a year of your time rather than the blokes running around in maroon and blue."
Yeah, well, there's also three kids that are starting to have their own lives too. My daughter Charlie, she's playing netball up in Melbourne at the moment and playing for Victoria in the under 17. So that's 3 times a week in Melbourne, and the young fella's playing basketball and football and these sorts of things. So at some stage, you'll have to put the queue in the rack and stop being selfish.
Yeah. Rory, love talking footy with you, mate. Really appreciate you coming in, and we wish you all the very best of luck for the season 2020 that's upon us.
Good on you, Tom. Thanks, mate. It's always fun to talk to you, mate. And yeah, it's going to be a great year in the Bellarine, and I'm sure all the coaches are really looking forward to it.
That's Newcombe coach Rory Nicol joining us next in our season countdown series. North Geelong, we're going to catch up with Aidan George.